Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Stuart Scanlon.
And I'm Mark Donovan, and this is the Bad Screenplays podcast.
Me and Mark used to write comedy screenplays and TV shows. Unfortunately, we didn't get anywhere.
So we've decided to pick through and review other people's efforts to see where we went wrong and have a laugh along the way.
Yep, in each episode, I'll send Mark a script. He sends one to me and we read them out totally unseen.
Send your screenplays to us at badscreenplayspodcast@gmail.com.
How are you today, Stuart? I was going to say good evening, but again, I realised it was quite off-putting because I do listen back to these podcasts to make sure, you know, everything's fine. Saying good evening because we are recording of an evening and it might be morning listening to the podcast. And I'm aware that some people might be at a computer working or whatever, and I might be quite off-putting saying good evening all the time, so good day.
Right. Good day, sir.
Good day.
All good. Very good. Nice to hear you.
Yeah, likewise. Likewise.
Yeah, it's been a funny old week.
Oh, yeah. Has anything happened?
I don't know. No, I don't know why. I just get that feeling, you know, like sometimes weeks fly by, sometimes they drag, and sometimes they're totally nondescript. Yeah. This is one of the nondescript ones, but I don't know, just nothing feels settled yet.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Of course. It's been relatively uneventful for me.
Yeah.
But I did watch a fantastic film at the weekend.
What'd you watch?
It's slightly more of a red cairns than it used to be. I know this sounds really boring. Before I had kids, I used to watch like films as if there was nothing, just watching films and discarding them all over the place.
Yeah.
But now it's such a big event to watch a film for me. Like, I might watch one film a week. But right. This podcast that I've been like dead into for a long, long time, I think I might have mentioned it here a couple of times. It's called Blank Check. It's an actor and a critic talk about directors' filmographies, and they'll go through the whole filmography of a certain director after they've had a big hit and talk about what they've directed and what they've done since. It's really interesting.
Oh, nice. That's great, man. What was the director?
So this time it was Robert Zemeckis.
Okay.
And so it's good to align, like a director that you're familiar with, it's good to align their films like chronologically. And he released a film called Welcome to Marwen, which I haven't seen, with Steve Carell. It looks horrific, and these guys didn't like it. But it's based on a documentary called Marwen Call, and that's the documentary that I watched at the weekend. And
oh, nice.
It's great. It's absolutely batshit crazy. It was really, really,
really
good.
Very recommend it though.
I would do, yeah. It's dead weird. If you like a dead weird documentary, about like a really slightly creepy but quite sweet innocent man, it's good though. It is good.
Nice. Oh, very good, man. That's great. No, I don't remember watching anything sort of to write home about this week. I just did the usual catch up on some Netflix documentaries and. Again, a lot of YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
YouTube this week. Yeah, I fell down the rabbit hole. I discovered, right, there's these people. This is going to sound so sad. There's these people who play. Have you ever played paintball?
I've played paintball, yeah.
Right. So there's these like pro paintball people with gamer names, right?
Right.
But they're doing it in real life.
Loves to spooge and stuff.
Loves to. and they go play paintball. Well, it's not paintballs. It's BBs. Like it's airsoft.
Airsoft. Yeah, yeah.
So there's this whole world of airsoft players out there.
Wow.
With Barrett 50 cal sniper rifle airsofts and therm and grenades, and they're covered in GoPros. So they go in.
What?
And they play rounds of airsoft with these cameras all over. I just couldn't look away. I just stumbled across it. I was just like, oh. And it goes like, SWAT ex-SWAT team member takes on 40 noobs. See what happened?
IRL. And it's just
so, yeah, exactly, IRL. So it's just some like, it's like there's one of them is four ex-UK soldiers. I don't know if they're special forces. I think they're parachute regiments.
Just four meathead patters.
Yeah, and they're just, and it's like someone flicked a little switch and they're back in Afghan and they're just like looking at each other in formation and turning and nodding at each other. And there's just these noobs in like mixed camo just getting owned all over the place.
Oh my God. These guys who are like gamers who've got zero muscle definition and like flabby tops and all that and taking on these like ex-special forces guys.
Oh, it's great to watch.
I love it.
Yeah,
I absolutely love it. That's brilliant. I need to look into that. I need to check it out. But you know, even if it's, you know, I'm into a lot of stuff that people might consider to be a bit pathetic or a bit nerdy or whatever. So that's why I'm able to judge other people's shit.
Right, yeah, judge not lest ye be... Yeah, exactly.
But that sounds ridiculous, and I could never imagine myself getting dead into that sort of thing. I'm not that into like army stuff anyway. It's not really my bag.
Yeah.
yeah. But there's something fascinating about people who are just absolutely obsessed with something, no matter what it is. I do think that there's something in that, you know, they want to become a specialist or an enthusiast or an absolute specialist in their particular thing. And I do think there's definitely something interesting, regardless of what it is.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? There's something weird about it, something kind of, you want to know why or why they've got that level of passion about something. But
yeah, no matter how weird it is, like us two losers who read bad screenplays to each other every single week.
Yeah.
We haven't dropped a week yet, Stu. Not one.
I know.
That's quite a lot of screenplays that we've read, you know.
I know. Just this is episode 14. So that's 14 weeks we've been doing this.
So we've read 28 screenplays on mic. That's not including the 30 or 40 that we read every week, trying to pick up the ones that we want to read.
Right, right, yeah. Oh my God, that's a lot.
That is a lot, isn't it?
We should be good writers by now.
Moving on.
Right.
Uh-huh. I'm interested to like, you know, take up writing again though, because I haven't written anything since we've been doing this. So I think we touched on it on last week's episode with my brother Andrew talking a bit more about writing and the process and stuff. I am definitely interested writing again. No. Having gone through all this, I think it could be, you know, could be quite cathartic. Could be quite.
I think
interesting.
So. Totally.
but moving in that vein, Stuart is.
So- Yeah, one I've selected this week for you. You're first, and it's called Exposed.
It is. It is indeed. Do you want? Can you give anything away, or is it a bit of a mystery, or should we just get straight into it?
Dive right in.
Dive right in. Okay. Exposed. Exposed, written by P.H. Cook. Okay. Exposed. Fade in. External house. Day. The sun beams down on a picture-perfect suburban house. Brad, 30, big bright smile, spring in his step, straightens his tie as he strides up the sidewalk to the house. He carries a vacuum cleaner in one hand, a big suitcase-type thing in the other.
Yeah.
It's not Bane again, is it?
Yeah, it's a CPAP machine.
He climbs the stairs to the front door. Puts the vacuum and case on the floor, a quick run through his hair with his fingers, and a firm knock on the door. He's a sleazy salesman, this guy, isn't he?
He is, yeah. Door to door.
Oh, God. What a job that I could never, ever, ever do in a million years.
I just remember that that office where Ricky Gervais is doing it. Do you remember?
He's selling, cleaning products and stuff.
Yeah. And it's perfect time. He goes, no, I don't do... As he lifts out the box from the boot of the car, it's like, he goes, dusters and...
Yeah.
Look at that, wiping the table.
He does a good job of, whipping it round. When he's selling them, dropping it. Okay, so you've got your such and such, and he reels through them like he's done it a million times. And he's like leaning his palm, open palm, touching them all. It's like, you got this, you got that, and you got your clean of this. Right. Yeah, it's good.
Right.
Okay, we've got an image now. Sounds of movement from inside are heard. Brad puts his best salesman smile on. After a moment, he knocks again. More sounds from inside. Vicky, voiceover muffled. I'll be right there. Brad picks up the vacuum and case, waits. The door opens a crack. Vicky, 35, a beautiful blonde in a silky robe, opens the door. It's getting a little bit Rita Sue and Bob too now, isn't it? Brad's eyebrows jump up in excitement at the sight of Vicky. His smile broadens. Brad, good afternoon, Mom. I'm Brad. Bradley with Aardvark Vacuums. I'm happy to tell you that your day no longer sucks. Big grin. Because we do. Aardvark Vacuums, we suck even better than anyone else. How are you today?
Oh.
Vicky, I'm biz. Brad pushes through the doorway with his stuff. Oh no, he's in the house. It's called exposed. Vicky's exposed now, isn't she? Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Internal house foyer day. Brad breezes through the foyer into the living room. Vicky, you can't come in here. Brad, off screen. All I need is a few minutes of, your time, Mom. Vicky slams the door shut, stomps towards the living room. Vicky, I don't have a few minutes of my time for you. Internal living room day. Brad scans the living room. Crap. All wooden floors. Do you have carpet? Vicky puts a hand on her hip, cocky. Dude, no one has carpet anymore. You're 20 years too late. Brad is surprised. No way. Vicky, irritated. Nope. Other than the bedroom, we do not have a carpet. Brad lightens up, picks up a stub. The bedroom! Well, let me show you, young lady, what the best and hardest sucking vacuum in the United States can do for you in your bedroom. Brad takes off. Vicky stomps after him. Hey, you can't go into my bedroom.
Hey, you know what? You just made me think of this.
Hmm.
I bought a house a few years ago.
Mm.
It was a little country house or whatever. It was off an old lady who was no longer with us. I think that's why the house was for sale.
Was it Bill Withers' wife?
Carpet in the bathroom.
Oh, fuck off. Oh, no, there's nothing worse, man.
Pink carpet in the bathroom. Who puts carpet in the bathroom? Like, cut round the toilet.
Oh, man. Oh, no thanks.
I know. I had to rip that all out. Everything out.
I mean, you know, even on like a good day, sometimes there's droplets.
Oh, and there's all the shit. They say when you flush the loo, like all these like airborne particles and... Oh, I don't even want to fucking... Ugh.
Yeah, times disgusting. Like, what, 40, 50 years or something?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Aerosoled into the air and like peppered throughout the... No.
Oh, man.
The good, on the plus side, it had those... it did have those old people handles you can grab onto.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I know, I kept them, yeah.
Just like you're having a lazy morning, just lower yourself down. you're not ready for the day yet.
Yeah, got one of those baths installed with the door on the side.
It's like like a strip of like material that lowers you slowly into the bath, isn't it? I'd love one of them.
Oh man, it'd be great, wouldn't it? A hoist.
A winch.
A winch.
Forgetting a whale out of the sea, like in Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer. Oh, good stuff.
Unbelievable. Right. Until bedroom day. Brad enters a big bedroom. The bed is unmade. Clothes are strewn around the floor. Vicky wasn't expecting guests, was she? Brad drops the vacuuming case by the bed. He pulls the sheets off the bed. Vicky enters. Hey, what are you doing? Brad snaps open the suitcase, pulls out a black piece of cloth. He pulls out the vacuum hose, attaches the cloth to the end. Brad, Mom, if I can't convince you to buy this vacuum in 5 minutes or less, I'm out of here, and that's a promise. Vicky, I don't want a fucking vacuum. I want you to leave now. Brad plugs the vacuum cord into the wall, turns it on. Brad, are you aware you have bugs living in your mattress, Mom? Disgust washes over Vicky. Brad starts the vacuum mattress. Brad, that's right, Mom. There are mites in your mattress. They live off your dead skin cells. Vicky shudders. Have you ever seen a zoomed in photo of like
dust mites? Like, walking around with like little pincers and see like, ugh.
Yeah. Oh man, they look like the elephants off Lord of the Rings or something, don't they? These massive things, tentacles and so on.
I know, it's horrible. I like to like, I don't do it as much as I should, but I should get rid of the pillows now and again and just get fresh ones, you know?
Yeah, man.
Because they live in that shit.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you don't think about it, and then all of a sudden you think about it and it's there in your brain, isn't it?
Yeah.
Vicky shudders. Brad turns off the vacuum. He shows the black cloth to Vicky. It's covered in light grey dust. Brad, see? These are your dead skin cells. A mites are feasting on them right now. Brad grins. Vicky is horrified. The sound of a car door slamming shut is heard. Vicky freezes. She runs to the window, peers outside. Her eyes bulge. Panic. Vicky, my husband...
Oh.
Brad's hopeful. Excellent. I'm sure he will be able to appreciate the awesome suction of the aardvark. Vicky shakes her head. No, you don't understand. If he finds you in here, he'll kill you. Brad's dumbfounded. Why? He's very jealous. You have to leave. Get out of here. Seriously, he will kill you. Sounds the front door opening and closing his head. Jack off screen.
Vicky?
Panic on both of them. Vicky tightens her robe. I'll be right there, honey. To Brad in a whisper. Get out of here now. Brad rushes for the window with the vacuum and case dragged behind him. This reminds me of that episode of The Peep Show where is it Jeremy's pretending that he's got this massive house.
Oh, the Orgazoid.
Well-remembered Orgazoid.
Yeah, I know my Peep Show.
Fucking yeah, not off.
Yeah, the Orgazoid. Yeah, his name's like Russell or something. The Orgazoid.
Is that where he has to, I don't know.
Lend him a hand.
Lend him a hand, yeah. Come on, mate. Give us a hand, will you?
Give us a hand. But there were other duties, Mark.
What other duties?
Yeah, and he's hiding in the cupboard, wasn't he? He got that woman around.
They're the one that the Mark went to school with, and he thinks that he's going to be able to go out with her. Oh man, that's so funny.
I know. I went to a Peep Show quiz once.
Oh right? Yeah, a pub quiz.
A mate called me up and said, "There's this Peep Show quiz in, I was like Reading or somewhere. You want to go? It's in a bar, Aussie bar. They got pitchers of beer and chicken wings." I was like, "Oh, I'm in."
Nice.
Sounds great. I know, right? And now we're all in lockdown. That sounds even better.
Oh man, yeah.
We went along and we're like going through in the car. We're going, yeah. What's Super Hans' real net? Going through all this stuff, right? Mm. And we get there. We know our Peep Show.
Yeah.
We didn't know a single, like,
seriously.
It was like next level.
Oh,
Peep
shit.
Show questions. I wish I could remember something.
Like insane. Like what colour was such and such jumper worn on blah de blah episode? And
right, yeah. Super Hans has two children. What are their names? Like, huh? What?
I don't even know the names.
In episode, yeah, exactly. In series 3, episode 4, Johnson walks in and says, "What? Like, huh?"
Oh my god! Yeah,
and there were teams there crushing it.
That's ridiculous. I mean, you know, just watching something for enjoyment, like, but watching something in forensic detail, fucking hell.
I know.
That's mad, that, because I feel like I could probably do a quiz, like an Alan Partridge quiz, but then I can reel off a bunch of quotes, but I couldn't tell you what shoes he was wearing or what Sonia said or something, I don't know.
Well, this is weird, because I was watching Mastermind last night, right?
I watched Mastermind last night.
I was trying to think what my specialist subject would be. And I either came up with the films of Tarantino or Partridge.
Yeah.
What would you go for?
I've thought about this before. I would probably do a strategic thing. You know, I'd pick a book and just read the book about six times study it, and then say that's my specialist subject. Because if it's something that I like, I don't know whether I will have watched something that I particularly like that many times to be able to answer the quiz on it. Because then I think you just end up disliking it. Or maybe just a film that I'm definitely familiar with. I don't think I'd be able to pick something off the bat, you know.
I do think people who go on and their specialist subject is the only way is Essex.
Mm.
Or the, you know, Tottenham Hotspur. I think they're cheats.
Just cheats.
And then you got some, well, they always fail in the general knowledge round.
Yeah,
but you've got
someone
on there who's like, you know, German ornithology between 1610 and 1840. Or, you know, the novels of Charles Dickens, but you know, and you're like, okay, there's actual work gone into that.
Yeah.
You can't just sit there and watch The Only Way Is. That's like my Alan Partridge, though. So, I suppose it's the same.
You watched this last night. One of the contestants chose Friends as their specialist subject, didn't he?
No, I
watched Friends first time round. Watched every single episode of it, and then it's been on repeat on God knows how many channels since. And it's sometimes just on in the background, so I feel pretty familiar with it. Didn't get a single one of them right.
Not one.
And I don't think the person got quite a few of them right, but they were, again, ridiculously specific, weren't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, very specific. Like, you would never know that unless you lived and breathed or worked on the show.
Yeah, Friends. Unless you created Friends, or unless you were a friend.
You were one of the friends.
Friend.
Oh, God.
Okay, so Vicky's husband, Jack, has just arrived home. Brad glances around the room, sees a slatted closet door. He runs off to it, opens it, dashes inside with his vacuum. Wonder if it's still on.
Yeah, right.
Vicky kicks some of the clothes on the floor under the bed just as Jack enters. He's a big, beefy man in his suit in his 40s, Bigfoot. He loosens his tie, a very grim look on his face. Vicky, nervous, tries to be the loving wife. Hi, honey, you're early today. Jack paces back and forward. Vicky, I have cancer. Wasn't expecting him to say that. Vicky stares at him in a WTF kind of way. In a Marc Maron kind of way.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Lock the gates. Vicky, what? I have cancer in my ass. Vicky, disgusted, confused. What? You're going to die now? Jack whips out his cell phone, pushes some buttons. He shows Vicky some pictures. She tilts her head. What is that? It's my ass, Vicky. I took these with my phone. Vicky's jaw drops. I have cancer in my anus. He flips through some more pictures. See these hard lumps here? Sometimes they bleed.
Oh, jeez.
Horrified, Vicky glances at the closet door. Closet, faint voice. It's just a crevasse tool. What? I don't get that.
No.
Is he giving him advice on Hoovers?
It's just the crevasse tool. There are hard lumps here. What? No, I don't get that.
I don't get that. Vicky's eyes dart back to Jack. Vicky, honey, that doesn't mean it has to be cancer. Jack, it is. I sent these to a doctor online. Vicky, you uploaded pictures of your ass online. Jack's been on Grindr.
Yeah. Dr. Feelgood.
Jack, he's a doctor. The site is safe. Jack grabs hold of his shoulders. I'm going to die, Vicky. Vicky appalled. He's quite adamant, Jack, isn't he? With no evidence, been a WebMD or Mumsnet or something and upload the pictures of his bumhole.
Oh my God. Yeah, MLO. Oh God, that Mumsnet shit.
Vicky, you can't do that. What about me? I'll be humiliated in front of all my friends. They'll all snicker behind my back while they look at pictures of your sick ass on their phones. Oh man, I think Vicky and Jack deserve each other by the sounds of it.
Yeah, right.
Jack pauses, stares at Vicky. I'm going to San Francisco. Okay. Vicky, what? Jack, that's where the doctor is. He's an expert on asses. I need to pack my bag. The plane leaves in 1 hour. This has all gotten dead surreal all of a sudden, this.
I know.
Jack hurries over to the closet, opens the door. Inside stands Brad, naked, clutching the vacuum hose with the crevasse attachment. Next to Brad stands a man, 60 in his underwear. His wrists tied together and a gag ball in his mouth. Where did he come from?
I think he was up to no good by when Jack rang.
Okay. Yes, of course. That's why she was all nervous and she didn't let him in the house.
All robed up.
Got you. With a 60-year-old dude in the closet.
I know, right?
Very awkward moment as everyone's eyes bounce around in confusion and embarrassment to one another. Fade out. This was a classic farce.
It was. The old switcheroo. I don't know. That was good.
It's like Private Lives, but with bad taste cancer jokes.
I know. Hey, look, you got to laugh.
Fun, man. That was fun. I enjoyed that. That was a bit crazy, a bit wild. Didn't know where it was going.
Yeah, silly, but well written, I think.
It wasn't. Any spelling mistakes or really ridiculous sentences as we've come across in the past. The one criticism I'd give of it, just off just reading it now for the first time and just jumping out at me, is it was a build up. There was a lot of time building up, wasn't there? So you've got this guy going in the bedroom, and there's no actual real story going on. It's like he's going in, she doesn't want him to be there. He's trying to sell the Hoover.
Right.
And then I presume there's going to be some sort of reveal or some big plot turn or something was going to happen. And I suppose they've subverted that a little bit by going with that, the husband comes home, that old sort of trope. But I felt it, there was a couple of obscure gags, or I felt it kind of was trying to be a little bit too clever, maybe.
Right, yeah.
He jumped in the closet. The guy comes home and starts talking about cancer and stuff. derailed it a little bit.
Taking photos of his asshole and he's off to San Fran and I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting nonetheless, Stu. And funny.
Interesting. Well, there you go.
It's like when you go and see a band and the people say, "Did you like it?" And you go, "Oh, you were so tight. It was really tight."
Yeah.
You don't want to say, "Oh, yeah, it was shit."
It was shit, yeah. I mean, yeah, right. Very good. Red stood outside with his vacuum. He barges inside Vicky's house. She hides two strange men in a wardrobe. She's been naughty and unfaithful on a spouse.
So I have sent you a script goes by the name of Cowboy's Burden.
The old Cowboy's Burden.
Yep.
By Rockland Mazar.
Sounds like a cowboy.
It does, yeah. Rockland Mazar. What's the guy off of, I always think of his voice when he was on Parks and Rec, but he was the cowboy in Big Lebowski. Yeah, sitting at the bar, drinking a sarsaparilla. He's got that white handlebar mustache.
Was he on Parks and Rec? I can't remember him.
He was in one of the later. Oh, was he? Yeah.
I know exactly who you're talking about. He just plays a cowboy in everything he's in, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got that deep voice, that Western twang.
He's the voiceover guy, and he's in it was the remake with remake of A Star Is Born. He was in that, wasn't he?
Oh, with the Cooper and Gaga.
His name's Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott, yeah, that's right.
And
his voice is the one I go to in my head when I think of cowboys.
He's kind of talking to his mustache like that.
Yeah, dude.
I need to rewatch The Big Lebowski. I was talking about that recently.
Ugh.
It's just a classic.
Isn't it? Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Mm.
As Brandt. That's great. Oh, he's a cripple. Mr. Lebowski is disabled. Yes, yes. It's brilliant.
It's so good, isn't it?
It's great. Wonderful. All right, well, let's see if this is as good. Cowboy's Burden by Rockland Mazar.
Mm-hmm.
Fade in, external, desert flats, day. A Harvester International Scout SS-2 speeds across the ungodly terrain. Sand and dust billow in its trail. Any idea what that is?
I've got no idea what an SS.
Oh, okay.
Scout.
Oh, oh, good. I thought you were going to be like Luke Skywalker traveled in one when he had to go to Gladar or something. I don't know.
Gladar. Oh man, I bet there's a planet called Gladar in the Star Wars universe. I'm just letting you know. On the Star Wars Wikipedia is called Wikipedia, just to remind Wikipedia. You. It'll be on Wikipedia.
Yeah. It will now, yeah.
Gladar.
External Scout SS2. It's topless and doorless. A man wearing a cowboy hat, shades, Western style shirt with the sleeves partially rolled up, and blue jeans is in the driver's seat.
He's a cowboy?
He's a cowboy. He's speeding across an ungodly terrain. It's got no top, and he's wearing a cowboy hat.
No.
Must have one of those little chin straps.
For safety.
For safety. The cowboy shifts gear, and his boot steps on the accelerator. Close on the cowboy's face.
He's got no name.
He's got no name. It's cowboy. He has a steely face. The distant horizon reflects off his shades. Cowboy, voice over. The score was 1-1. You bastard. You killed my crew, so I in turn killed yours. And as far as I was concerned, that could have been the end of it. External desert flats day. The terrain is slowly changing. Mountains appear in the background as the speeding scout proceeds. The blue sky is turning pink, and the yellow flats are turning grey. Cowboy, I even thought we'd reached a tacit truce after those awful events.
Is
that right?
Tacit? I think it's tacit, yeah. I don't know what tacit means in that context. Tacit truce. It's hard not to... I know we've done this before, but I think it's something to be coming back to. It's hard not to think of... is it Trey Parker's voice in these sorts of situations, isn't it? Like,
every time, yeah. I even thought we'd reached a tacit truce. Yes.
Freedom isn't free. Because well,
a hefty fucking fee.
Yeah. I hear that when I read this.
You can watch, that's another good thing on YouTube. You can watch Matt and Trey in the voiceover booth doing episodes.
Oh, really?
On YouTube.
Like, while
hilarious.
The episode's playing.
So, I don't, it's a bit of a mix up. I don't know if, because they don't do it in one read.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of cut up, and it's so funny.
Oh, man, I'll have to look at that.
Yeah, look at that. Internal scout, close up on the cowboy. I guess that was just naive thinking on my part. Dashboard, a sophisticated global positioning unit, is beeping rhythmically. GPS screen, a grid layout of the area is on the screen. A white dot is moving against the grid. It blinks with each rhythmic beep.
So I was imagining, like, off the top of my head, some sort of, like, combine harvester type vehicle, but it's definitely not. It's some future space thing, isn't it?
It made me think of a Star Wars... I saw on Reddit this week, it's like some Star Wars car that was supposed to be hovering, and there's, like, a photo of it in the desert when they were filming. I think it was in Morocco or somewhere.
Yeah, I think
so. One of the original... And they've got this car on, like, three wheels. It's supposed to be like a rocket ship, I guess. But they've got this long mirror angled perfectly along the base over the wheels.
Ah, okay.
So when you stand back, it looks like it's just levitating on the sat. That's what they used.
That's cool. In the original?
On the original. And it's like a 70s movie set. Was it the 70s?
I think it was, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it's like, that would make sense. You've got, like, 70s movie set. So there's, like... a bunch of crew, just not a drop of sun cream on them, just shirtless out in the Moroccan desert, big mustaches, radios, you know, just getting on with making this movie.
No way,
it's
man.
Great.
That must have been great to be there. I mean, even if you don't like Star Wars, that must have been like, you know, because that was pretty heavy on special effects, but and even in the 70s as well.
Oh, totally. And exciting that, because he was an established name then, and, you know, there was a lot of money going in on that film, I would imagine. So, yeah, it would have been cool.
I think there's another scene where they had that speed that you're talking about moving, and they weren't able... I didn't know that mirror thing, by the way. I just knew this. When it was moving, they couldn't put anything in front of it, and so we put Vaseline on the lens of the camera.
to mist it or to blur it.
And then they kicked up a load of smoke. And I mean, I think you see it now when it's been like sort of, you know, remastered and stuff. It looks actually looks worse, to be fair.
Really?
But the remastered Star Wars films, oh man. But yeah.
Man, those old tricks they used to do on the cameras, like things with the Vaseline. And
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly, yeah.
I knew a couple of the old film guys when I started working. It was great to work with the film guys. Because they're literally a dying breed, you know. They're not passing this knowledge on outside of movies now. So, like, I work with the news film guys, and all these old tricks, you know, lighting for film was totally different to lighting for video and digital.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the tricks you can do, like they used to, certain correspondents would get like just a slight turn of the focus just to soften them up, make them look a bit nicer on camera.
Yeah, yeah.
And things like that. You know, the Vaseline was an old trick as well, and the filters you could put in and stuff. Yeah, it was interesting.
Lighting is, it's such a specific art, isn't it? Like, it's...
Oh, my God. It is an art.
Yeah. And
that was one of the most fascinating things for me, watching these old film guys, you know, doing this. Just soaking it in, and you just ask them a question, happy to share with you.
Yeah.
You know, light the background, not the subject. Light the for the background, then step the subject in, and backlights and side and all kinds of stuff. It was amazing.
That's really interesting. Really good. I literally know nothing about that. That's dead interesting.
Where were we? Close up on the cowboy. The same steely face and shades. His mechanized left hand is on the steering wheel. What are we called, hands? Curse these metal hands.
Love it.
Cowboy, if ever there was a truce, you broke it last year when you Pearl Harbored me.
Oh, man.
When you Pearl Harbored me.
What a turn of phrase, like. That's fucking hilarious.
Oh, I love it. You
Imagine using that.
I'm terrible with. Have they turned Pearl Harbor into a verb?
I think they have. Imagine using that in everyday life, though. Like, you know, oh, I was pulling into the parking bay and someone bloody Pearl Harbored me and pulled in first.
Oh my God!
Or like getting gazumped. Oh yeah, put off in the house, but someone bloody Pearl Harbored me and but
gazumped.
Just using it like willy nilly.
Oh my God! Yeah, it's my own personal 9/11.
Fucking hell.
Pearl Harbor, that's do you think this was written before 9/11? Like Pearl Harbor was the worst thing to have happened to the States at this point.
In this guy's head, it clearly is, isn't it?
Maybe.
That's crazy.
But he's a cowboy. Pearl Harbor, I love it. I don't love Pearl Harbor. Well, I mean, I like Pearl Harbor, sure, lovely. But what happened there? Awful.
You're confused, but you're talking about the place or the film?
Oh my God, the film. And Josh, what's his name?
Josh Hartnett, yeah.
Yeah, and Ben Affleck. Oh, weak.
Ben Affleck's just rubbish, isn't he? He's the worst. That film, man.
I don't know, man. The latest movies he's worked on.
Argo, fuck yourself.
Like he was Argo was yeah Argo I enjoyed Argo
it was perfectly fine I think the Oscars, which again is dead contrived anyway, wet themselves over it a bit too easily for my money. Like,
did you watch The Accountant?
I did watch The Accountant. Let me try and think.
He's beating himself in the legs listening to like death metal with a wooden stick, like, remember he's auditing that company, that sort of biotech neural company.
Did that end in like a big shootout in a house?
Yeah, Ben Affleck is an accountant, like an insane level. I think he was autistic.
Mm.
So his personality lent himself to being like extra meticulous with details and stuff, and he was an amazing accountant. But he was also an assassin.
Yeah, fucking hell. He's tiptoed into Steven Seagal territory, isn't he? You know, he's
slippery slope. Really? It was Anna Kendrick and Ben Affleck, I seem to remember.
Oh, man, I've watched that film and I barely...
And I think John Lithgow was in it.
He's always good value, John Lithgow, isn't he?
Oh, great value, yeah.
I've seen that and it barely exists in my brain. I'm just about grabbing facts.
Really? There's some pathway that's just getting reconnected in your head.
Doesn't he just take on roles at the minute where he gets to play like a down and out piece of shit, sort of drunk? Because it's easy for him to turn up and put very little effort in and just look uninterested. So,
look, Ben's character acting again.
No, he's just a dick.
Ben, what time should we start filming? Filming?
My character needs to be like, you know, gradually get more and more overweight as the shoot goes on. That's the character.
Isn't it mad how like him and Matt Damon were like our best buddy, you know, they moved to LA together. Yeah. And they were in all those Kevin Smith
movies. Yeah, of course, like Chasing Amy and they're both really good in them. They're both like full of energy and life and exuberance and all that, right? Dogma.
Yeah.
Oh, Dogma's just fucking... I need to rewatch Dogma. It to sort of see what it's like now, but my most recent memory of it is that I loved it. Like,
yeah, I rewatched Mallrats, one of the old Kevin Smith movies. Mm. He actually Affleck's in that, and I like that film. It was a bit cringy, like, because I was showing her it. I was like, oh yeah, watch this, and I was a bit like, ish.
Oh really?
It's still funny, but it's so 90s. It's so 90s.
Has it not aged particularly well?
Not really. I mean, it's a snapshot of then.
Yeah. 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 Definitely.
But it was, oh my God, talking of Kevin Smith, have you seen Kevin Smith like
recently
in the last 6 months?
Yeah. He had that big incident on an aeroplane where he couldn't get on the plane. And apparently it really affected him quite bad, didn't it?
He had a really bad heart attack.
Yeah. Oh shit. He did. Of course. Yeah.
He had a really bad heart attack. And like he's, after watching that Mallrats movie, I was like, what's he working on? So I just looked up Kevin Smith, and there, it looks like someone locked Kevin Smith in a cupboard with no food for 6 months.
Yeah.
Like he is like skinny.
He's lost all that weight in a very, very short space of time, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. He says he's never felt better.
I mean,
and it's great. You know, he had the heart attack, so it's a perfect catalyst to do that.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, good on the guy. I mean, that can't be easy. That cannot be easy, can it?
No.
Fucking hell. I put half a stone on and just obsess over trying to lose it and fail miserably and put another half a stone.
Yeah, I know. Over Christmas especially. Anyway. If there was a truce, Pearl Harbor. you burned off my left arm, but this new mech arm, it's almost as good as a God-given one. It will last forever. It'll last forever.
Will it last forever, though? Yeah. What if it's made by, like, Samsung? It'll last for, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
Planned obsolescence on that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, special screws you can't undo on your own.
Yeah.
Close on the mechanical left hand and forearm. The name of the manufacturer is stamped on it. The Cybernetic and Cloning Lab Company. Yeah, this bad boy contains a complete sample of my DNA. If you should kill me, the eggheads back at CCL, they'll just clone me. GPS screen. The white dot is blinking rapidly and the beeps are more steady. Cowboy. And I'll be back. And I'll keep coming back until you're dead. Internal, the Scout SS-2 backseat. There's a backseat. On the backseat is a rectangular box. The cover reads, the Thunderbolt 3000 rifle. Why just kill him when you can reduce him to ashes? I hope you like pain, because I'm going to doll it out by the boatload when I catch up with you.
Reminds me of that gun off, was it Beverly Hills Cop 3, where it's got like a microwave in it and stuff? Like,
I don't remember that. Don't,
yeah, it's like a massive gun that's being like modelled by some like scantily clad model, and it's like, you know, it might as well be like the Thunderbolt 3000, and it's got like a TV and a microwave and stuff on it.
Again, we talked about this the other week. Remember when Gary Oldman is trying to sell guns in The Fifth Element?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, yeah, you got the net. He goes, boosh. It fires that. He goes, you got rockets. And he fighting unloads a whole magazine on him, doesn't he? Just, all the bullets just go back around.
My personal favourite.
Yeah, that's right. Flamethrower.
Yeah, that's it.
My personal favourite. Nice, well remembered. External desert flats day. The scout is speeding. Still, sand and dirt billow in its trail. Through the windshield, a winged creature is seen flying in the sky ahead of the GPS.
That is.
The GPS screen. The white dot is no longer blinking. It's solid, and the beep is now a steady ring. While driving, the cowboy reaches into the back. He's driving with his knees.
Hold on.
Into the back and grabs the rifle from its box. The Jeep is speeding along the flats, pursing a dragon flying in the sky. The Jeep is right under the dragon. It slams to a stop.
I don't think he's a real cowboy. I'm just going to say that now. I don't think he's an actual cowboy herding sheep, cows, stuff like that, you know.
A lasso-throwing, boot-wearing cowboy.
He's just cosplaying as a cowboy.
He is. He ain't no cowboy.
No.
The Jeep is right under the dragon. It slams to a stop. The cowboy jumps out with the rifle in hand. He takes aim at the dragon. Cowboy's POV. High in the sky, the tail end of the dragon is in the gun's sight. Close on the cowboy's face. He's looking through the gun's sight. The flying dragon reflects off the shades. Cowboy, vite al diablo.
What's that mean?
Oh, diablo is devil. Vite, is that die, you devil? Something like that.
Let me Google it into Spanish. Vite al diablo.
Oh, okay.
It means, in Spanish, it means vite al diablo.
Go to hell.
Does it mean go to hell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Vite al diablo. Go to hell.
What does mean get pill harbored in Spanish? I just say that.
You know what it is? It's
Consigue Pearl Harbored.
That's good, isn't it? I didn't think it was going to be like that.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
Very good. Desert flats. The rifle fires a thunderous lightning bolt. With a blinding flash and deafened boom, the lightning bolt strikes the dragon in the rear. The beast flinches in mid-flight and lets out a god-awful shriek. It recovers. The dragon turns in the direction the bolt came from. Its head is now for the cowboy. The cowboy sees the dragon flying his way. He fires a lightning bolt at the dragon. The approaching dragon evades the bolt. The dragon releases a deafening roar. Standing alongside the Jeep, the cowboy fires another bolt.
He's not very good. Not a good shot, is he?
It's not.
I don't imagine the bullets are cheap for that thing either. Are they?
Well, the Hellfire 3000, yeah. The dragon evades that bolt too. It's three now. The dragon hovers, so wings are flapping, keeping it aloft, and it unleashes a huge blast of fire from its mouth. The cowboy dives behind the rear end of the Jeep. The Jeep's front end is enveloped in flames. The cowboy is protected from the flames.
My personal favourite.
Flamethrower. That's callback. I love it. The beast starts to fly towards the Jeep. The cowboy rolls from behind the Jeep. Oh, man. What filthy piece of shit did I do now? Another Gary Oldman. The cowboy rolls from behind the Jeep, aims the rifle and fires off a bolt. The dragon roars. A second later, the bolt strikes it directly in its mouth.
God! When you talk like that after you've just coughed up your lungs a bit.
You know, when something goes down the wrong hole and someone tries to speak, I'm always on high alert for them trying to speak. I love it, because I do it myself, and like you'd have to give yourself about 20 seconds, don't you?
And then someone goes, I'm just going.
And then it's one of his favourite little gifts in life when someone tries to speak after that.
It's the little things, isn't it?
It is the little things, it really is.
the beast's head explodes.
Whoa.
And its body goes limp. Well, it will. In mid-flight.
It explodes, yeah.
The lifeless body is headed towards the scout and the cowboy. He sees what's coming, but he can't do anything about it. Oh, this ain't good. The careening, lifeless dragon flattens the scout and cowboy. A rut and huge crater are created by the impact. Fade to desert flats, night.
It's been there a while.
The lifeless dragon lies in the crater. Parts of the wrecked, flattened scout are visible. Crater. Buzzing and whirring sounds emanate from under the dead dragon. The mech arm has detached itself from the cowboy's body.
Here we go.
And as it's like it's like Thing. Was it Thing in the Addams Family? What's that
was
hand?
It was Thing, yeah, yeah.
Was it Thing? It wasn't it. No, was the Thing was the what was the one with all the hair?
That was Cousin It.
Cousin It. So this is Thing. This is just a mechanized hand walking on its fingers. It's
mecha Thing.
Mecha Thing. The mech arm has detached itself from the cowboy's body and has managed to escape from under the dragon. The fingers of the mech act as legs, yeah, dragging the forearm along. It drags...
Fucking hell.
Beautiful, I love it. The mech arm is dragging itself across the flats.
Of course it is.
The mech is dragging itself along the road. A coyote notices it and goes after it. The coyote picks the mech up in its mouth. The mech grabs the hold of the coyote's ear. The coyote yelps in pain and releases the mech.
Just like the hand doing like a middle finger gesture as the coyote runs away.
Yeah. Yeah. The mech drags itself along the shoulder of the highway. Cars speed by. The bright skyline of a city is in the background.
People just driving past this hand, crawling along the highway.
Yeah, oh, it's another one of those hands.
Somebody must
Should
have killed
we
a
stop?
Dragon.
No, yeah. I'm not picking it up. External cybernetic and cloning laboratory. For fuck's sake, laboratory.
Laboratoire.
This is my laboratoire. Okay, Monsieur Garnier. Do you remember that? Yeah. Monsieur Garnier.
My laboratoire. Brilliant.
It's a northern. It's like a Yorkshireman. This is my laboratoire. Cybernetic and cloning. Fuck you. Cybernetic and cloning laboratoire company. The mech is dragging itself through the parking lot. A SWAT white building is in the background. SWAT white. Internal, the cloning company. Two techs examine the mech arm. Looks like an RX-7-300ZX. Ah, yeah, the cowboy, says Tech 2. He's to be cloned if he should meet an untimely death. Well, I guess he did. Says Tech One.
Imagine if he forgot to put the data in. He was like, "Oh, sorry, you're just a hand now."
Yeah.
Sorry, mate. You're a hand.
You only paid for the hand clone package. Yeah. I thought the £20 a month was for the whole. Oh.
It's like all those people giving like thousands and thousands of pounds and dollars to these cryo companies, thinking that they're going to get woken up again, and you just think, yeah, you're just shoveling money into this company and. Yeah. You're dead now.
You're dead. Just dumping you in a garbage dump.
Just putting you in a freezer. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. You're dead. Paying all that money.
Imagine like it was like a subscription thing, like you're just saying there. They just about managed to bring people back to life, but you stopped paying like a couple of weeks before. Oh, sorry. Sorry, you didn't make your final payments.
I'm afraid your policy did end on the... What? Did I ever tell you on this podcast, did I ever tell you the story about the batteries?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. I don't want to tell the same story ever again. So that subscription thing where you cash something in later, we did that at work. So this company came along and said, you use a lot of batteries, right? We said, yeah, you got lithium ones, there's some old mercury ones, all camera stuff and whatnot. I said, look, we're a specialist battery disposal company. We'll take any battery, you know, that you have trouble getting rid of any other way. Yeah. You put them in this box and you send it to, you call us when the box is full, we'll come and get it.
Mm.
So we were like, oh, brilliant, great. You know, it's not cheap because there's a lot of heavy metals and things. You've got to do it right, though.
Yeah,
so they go, all right, here's the thing. It costs this. So you pay, the company paid the money. They get sent this, like, plastic box with, like, all the batteries you can and can't put in it, right? Mm. And, you know, most of them you can. So you fill the box, like, 6 months later, maybe a year later, the box is full. And we seal it up and we call the number. Do, do, do.
Oh, shit. You bit that off.
you just bought a plastic box for a few hundred quid.
Oh, man. That's amazing.
And they're not getting any calls for collection until at least a year down the line because the boxes are big.
Fucking hell, man. That's just a perfect scam, isn't it?
I couldn't be mad at him. I was like,
the audacity of it, though. God.
Bravo, sir.
Just imagine the amount of times someone's going, no, 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 that doesn't go in there. That goes in the special plastic battery box.
Yeah, that goes in this side of the box, in the red box, not the blue
one. Ooh, it's nearly full now.
Do, do, do. The number you have dialed has not been recognised.
Oh, my God. That is an unbelievable scam.
It's great, isn't it? I've actually heard another one, but I won't. Actually, a very, very good one.
You told me a fantastic one. We'll save it for another episode because it might be my favourite story that I've ever been told.
Was it the gas?
Yes, it was. Save that for another episode because that's an absolute whopper.
I love that. I love it. Okay, we'll get round to that another time.
I've told that story so many times and I'm some sort of legend for being able to deliver that story to people because it's that good. We'll save it.
All right. Okay, we'll save that for next time. Okay. Two techs are dressed in disposable protective clothing, face masks and goggles, standing shoulder to shoulder. They're bathed in green light. Begin the cloning of RX-7-300ZX. Tech's POV. A 100-gallon glass cylinder tank is full of green, translucent liquid and a human embryo. Oosh. Hmm. The label on the tank reads RX-7-300ZX. Wipe 2. Oh. Caption, 1 year later. POV of the 100-gallon tank. The two techs stare at the tank with shocked expressions. Huh?
Imagine it was like the fly and they just turn like a chimpanzee inside out. This is horrible, isn't it?
Oh, man. This isn't right. Something's gone horribly wrong. Oh, it's too late. Get a bed and take him to the prep room. He'll be awake soon. Oh, no. Internal hospital room, night. The techs are standing at the end of a hospital bed. POV of the patient, dash cowboy. The two techs are standing at the end of the bed. Both seem concerned.
Kill me. Kill me.
I can't breathe.
What's that? That's off Alien Resurrection, isn't it?
I just think it's off South Park.
I think South Park riffed on it, but yeah, it's like...
Yeah.
Kill me.
Where am I? You're at CCL. Wait, I was cloned? Yes, you were, but there was a problem. The cowboy lifts his arms. His forearm and hands are green and scaly. His fingers have long, sharp nails. Oh, my God. What happened to me? Your DNA sample was contaminated. With what? With dragon DNA. You've been genetically spliced. Ooh, bit of dragon on there.
What did Charlie Sheen call himself? He had something DNA.
He had tiger's blood.
Tiger's Tiger's blood.
Wasn't it tiger blood?
I think it was, you know.
Hold on. Charlie Sheen DNA. I've got Adonis DNA.
Adonis.
And tiger's blood. CBS should be licking my feet.
Oh, man. That was crazy when he just completely fell off the earth, wasn't it? Like,
I went to a pub quiz, right? And it was one of the worst pub quizzes I've ever been to. It was comically bad. And this sounded like a bit from a sitcom. The woman goes, she goes into the mic, she goes, question 7. Which US actor and comedian was recently diagnosed with AIDS?
Oh, fucking hell, man. Oh, no.
And then everyone in the pub was looking at each other going, oh my God. And then she's oblivious. And she goes, correction, question 7. I've just been informed that it was HIV, not AIDS.
Oh, fucking hell, man. Oh God, that's awful.
It's like, it's in the country pub in
basically,
Surrey.
Who has AIDS? Yeah. I've been to the pub quizzes where the questions are so open for interpretation, and you think, oh man, you're going to have a nightmare at the end when people turn
everyone.
Up and a few quiz boffins, because people get quite serious over quizzes when they start turning up and going, actually, the answer wasn't the Hunger Games, because it was written before and it was in 1962. And you go, oh.
Okay, half a point.
Yeah, half a point. You just cop it out.
Yeah, right. Well, our cowboy. With dragon DNA, the cowboy has been cloned into a dragon man. A man with scales and claws. Yes. He's sitting up in his hospital bed. The two techs are at the end of the bed. Can anything be done to reverse it? Can anything be done to reverse it? Asks the cowboy dragon man. I'm afraid not,
says tech one.
You have to
breathe through a straw now.
Close up on the cowboy dragon man. He has the 1,000-yard stare. The cowboy dragon man is alone in his room, lying in his bed. Voiceover. It seems, dragon, you and I are now one. The blood of my eternal enemy flows through my veins.
Oh, God.
I guess I'm my own worst enemy now. Close up on the cowboy dragon man. This changes nothing, dragon. I will kill you. I promise. The end.
Oh, man, I'm dead. Oh, man, just finish me off.
Encore.
I'm not 100% certain that's what the writer was going for.
Sure it was.
Oh, man. I'm crying. Actually crying, laughing.
Oh, God. Brilliant. Brilliant. The cowboy's burden.
Cowboy's burden. It definitely is a burden now, isn't it? That was so funny. Well read. I enjoyed that. Fucking hell. I think if we have to pick any episode for first draft production to go straight into production, pool all our resources, I think it has to be that one, doesn't it?
That's a green light from me.
Amazing.
Oh. Hello, Netflix, you've been commissioned.
Yeah. Oh, that was good. That was fun. Fun. I enjoyed that.
Streets are rain, a looming shadow grows. A metal-handed cowboy cosplays on his own. He clones himself slowly, it's taking very long. He's now an abomination that's turned out.
I want to just say a quick hello to you, whoever you are listening to this. But no, thanks, because I don't think a lot of the people who are listening are necessarily following us on Twitter or Reddit or anything like that. You're literally just listening to the podcast, and we can see you quietly in the background in the statistics, like clicking, like download yeah. every week, and we really, really do appreciate it. You know, you're just quietly doing your thing, listening to the show. I hope you're enjoying it, but just want to say thanks because it does mean a lot.
We do see our little stats and things. If look, we've 14 episodes in now. That's what we said before. Mm-hmm. And if no one was listening to this, I mean, I still have great fun.
Oh yeah.
But I'm not going to say I'd do this if no one was listening. yeah. I mean, I'd probably just call Mark and we'd just chat.
Yeah, the zero listens but, for like 8 weeks now, Stu. I mean, do you think we're going to get one? Yeah. We might get one next week.
Any day now. Gil needs this.
Gil needs this.
no, but look, we like Mark said, there are people listening and it's great. We hope you find it funny. I certainly do.
Send us an email at badscreenplayspodcast@gmail.com or get in touch on Twitter on @bscreenplays.
I was thinking about kicking the old hornet's nest and getting on Reddit again this week.
Reddit is basically turned itself into some political fucking like platform where
dude, I love
Wall
it.
Street's quivering. It's great off Reddit. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. Deep fucking value. Wall Street bets. I know. I've been watching it for a while.
We're going to be going to museums in 30, 40 years' time, and there's going to be a massive plaque on the wall and loads of evidence of fucking Reddit like posts. It's that important. It's crazy, isn't it?
I know, right? I just want to say thank you to Reddit for everything you've done for me regarding Dogecoin. So thanks a lot, Reddit. Thanks a lot, Reddit. Big fan. Big fan.
Yeah, Reddit. I ain't kidding. Need to bow down to Reddit and the robots.
Awesome. All right, man. Well, look, same time next week.
Same time next week. Have a good one, mate.
You too. See you later.
See you next time.
Bye. Bye.